Welcome to the Eitz Chaim Center Kiruv Training Seminar, recorded May 14th, 2006, in Baltimore, Maryland. CD number 1. Rabbi Shlomo Porter, director of the Eitz Chaim Center, will introduce HaRav Aaron Feldman, Rosh HaYeshiva of Yeshivas Ner Israel. The Rosh Yeshiva will speak on the topic of where we are in Jewish history, followed by Rabbi Porter speaking on the topic of Kiruv questions and answers. This recording is dedicated in memory of Mr. M. Leo Storch, Alav Shalom.
I'd like to welcome the Rosh Yeshiva, Rosh Yeshiva Israel, and all the Rabbonim, and all of you who have come to this Kiruv training seminar. We are overwhelmed by your response, and I think that it's a cinnamon toe for the success of the future effort of Kiruv in Baltimore. I'd like to dedicate the seminar to the schools of Rosh Chaim, and I'd like to thank the entire staff of Eitz Chaim, Rabbi Chaim Landau, Mrs. Glazer, and the entire office staff, and especially to Rabbi Alexander Seinfeld, who worked so diligently to put this entire seminar together. Parshas Emor begins, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Emor al Kanim, Vamarta aleihem. Rashi brings down that Hashem said to Moshe, speak to the Kohanim, and it says, Emor of your mark. So he says, Bahazir Gedolim al Kitanim. To make Gedolim responsible for Kitanim. So I think that is really the theme of the seminar, is that we, all of us who are adults, Gedolim, and also those who have Torah, that we're responsible for those who don't have Torah. Our responsibility is Lahazir Gedolim al Kitanim. But also, it means that we ask Gedolim to teach us, when we are Kitanim, relative to the Das Torah of Gedolim, that they should give us a derech, a proper approach to the relationship that us as observant and committed Jews, what our obligation is, and how this time especially is auspicious for the responsibility of Kiruv Rechokim, or Ahavas Yisrael in the fullest sense. So it's my pleasure to introduce the Rosh Yeshiva Yisrael.
Guests. The most remarkable thing about this meeting, this conference, is the fact that it exists. The fact that we can talk about tshuva, about being ready for people to tshuva, because 40 or 50 years ago, in the West, there was no such phenomenon in Jewish scene as about tshuva. They were rare and far between. To Kuczynski in his Sefer, Gesher HaChaim, has a story there about a Jew in Yerushalayim that came from Europe and became a Baal Tshuva, sat in the yeshiva, found out about it, found out about Yiddish guy, he was like a phenomenon that he found necessary to discuss and to explain to prove how unusual it was, and nowadays it's commonplace. You have institutions, yeshivas, tens of them, perhaps all over the world, for Baalei Tshuva. Why? What happened now that didn't happen in the past? Why in the past were there no Baalei Tshuva, not at all? I think that's important for us to understand in order to realize how we should approach Kiruv to make people Baalei Tshuva. First of all, in the past, the culture around us, the Western culture, was very attractive. People looked to it to solve all their problems, sociology and psychology. They were supposed to have the answers to everything. If we would just study a little more, they said, we'd have the solutions to all of human ills. And there were many social philosophies also that were quite powerful in those days. There was communism and socialism, there was liberalism and Americanism. Everybody thought that they're going to solve the problems of the world by pressing their particular philosophy. And so therefore no one felt proud and strong enough to reject the society around them, to say, I'm different from everyone else. There was a tremendous pressure to be like everybody, and because of the philosophies that were rampant, there was a tremendous pressure to be conformist. Conformism was in 40, 50 years ago. It was not in fashion to be frum. Another reason was that there was a problem. Jews were economically not as secure as they are nowadays. And in order to become economically secure, they thought that they would be like goyim, look like goyim, eat like goyim, live like goyim. They would be, this would ensure their economic success. In Europe, people used to schmatze to get into universities. But in America, they didn't schmatze themselves, but they tried their best to change their names and act like goyim. And they thought this would give them economic success. They wanted their children to become successful in universities and not send them to yeshiva. And that's caused the whole change of Jews, which that left the Yiddishkeit, especially those Jews who came to America. But things changed. In the 60s, there was a revolution in America because of the Vietnam War. There was a civil rights revolution. All of these things created an atmosphere in the United States and consequently the rest of the world where people, it was in to be different from everyone around you. Ethnicity was in. It was beautiful to be black, and if you wore a black hat, it also became beautiful. Same thing. So that's spilled over on our ability to be different, be proud of ourselves. Besides, people began to realize slowly that all the social theories were just a bunch of hokum. They just didn't work. They weren't solving any of the problems of people. And people were extremely disillusioned. And because of that, the youth started looking towards Oriental cultures. They started traveling to Asia. It became fashionable to have alternative medicine, and all kinds of strange theories became popular because of this disillusionment with science, disillusionment with modern culture. In addition, besides the fact that nonconformity became in fact, they say there was a sign once in a clothing store that advertised the latest in nonconformist clothes. It became fashionable to be nonconformist, to be different, to dress differently. And the surrounding culture became unattractive. More crime, more drugs, meaninglessness, purposelessness of society, alienation by people, alienation from family and from community. People are extremely unhappy. Society became one in which the greatest money maker in the world is Prozac, which is an antidepressant medicine. So people, that's an illustration of how people are generally unhappy. So in addition, because materialism lost its allure to a great extent, spirituality became it. As I said, people turned to spirituality in the East and various cultures. I once had a young man who came to me who was a member for a while of Hare Krishna sect in India. That branch is here also. And he told me he became a Baal Tshuva. But he told me, well, I was in the Hare Krishna sect, he became familiar with everything involved in the sect. And he told me they have like 10 elders in Hare Krishna, 7 of them are Jews. And that's That's the influence. That's the Jews turning all over the world to Oriental and Eastern religions and so forth, movements to find meaning in their lives. The truth is that because spirituality is in, and because the Western culture is to a large part discredited, the theories, the isms are not popular anymore. We don't look to them for a solution of mankind's ills. It's a time which is extremely ripe for tshuva. And Chazal say that before Mashiach comes, here's a whole list of things in the last Mishnah, Baisa, Soita, the things that will take place before Mashiach comes. One of them is Malchus Tehofech Minus. The kingdoms of the world will turn to heresy. They'll stop believing. Why does that have to happen before Mashiach comes? Because before Mashiach comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to feel that it's necessary to have Mashiach, that we need Mashiach. And therefore, the whole world will turn to minus, the whole world will turn to apikosis, and people will realize that there is no solution for mankind's problems. They turned to minus, they thought that minus would somehow give them the solution to all their problems, that if they would rely on themselves and not on the Bnei Shalom, they would be able to advance society and make it a perfect place to live in. And the Prophet will show them that it's not so, that you need Mashiach. And none of these things you can have all be. The Prophet gives us free rein to do anything that we want. Nevertheless, we realize that we're unsuccessful in our lives. We have the free rein technologically, and medically, a human being can do anything out of it. You just have to think of an idea and you can carry it out into actuality because you have the technology and the equipment and the materials. Mankind is totally in charge of the world. He's totally, you can go to the moon and you can go to the depths of the ocean and you can cure sickness, many sicknesses. He's totally in power. And nevertheless, mankind has not solved any problem about his life. His daily life is unhappy. He doesn't know how to get along with his wife. He doesn't know how to get along with his children or with his community. He can't solve the problem of wars between nations. And there's no solution. So the world is extremely ripe for Mashiach. And it's extremely ripe for tshuva before Mashiach comes. It will come soon. Hayoyim, Kodesh Yishmo. But the world is extremely ripe because we have reached a stage where mankind does not believe in anything. And Judaism has the solution. It has the solution for all of men's ills. It's a mark. If you just think of it as a body of knowledge, it's unbelievably remarkable that the Torah was given 3,500 years ago. It's able to solve all of mankind's problems. It gives you the keys, the solution for all of our problems, our personal problems, our family problems, our community problems, our international problems. The sage is there in the Torah, the Mahalak of the Torah. And when people come into contact with this, they sense this is the solution, and this is where they should be turning. This is what they've been looking for all their lifetime. So Kilu is something which is the world is ripe for. We have to extend our hand to be Mekarav people. Of course, the first step in being Mekarav people is a friendly face, an outstretched hand, a song, and a dance, and warmth. That's the first step. But that's not enough. People will become Baal HaTshuva because it's true, not because you're nice to them. Certain people who are emotionally deprived might come to Yiddishkeit because you warm them and friendly. That's not enough. People have to become frum because it's true, because it's emes, instead of nashamayim. And Klal Yisrael is the tachlis of the bria, and they're Jews. And they have to find out what it means to be Jewish. It's not something you can be told to about Jew immediately, but this is the goal. I think it's a little bit is a fallacy in some of the children movements where they think the main thing is kiruv. The main thing is showing them how pleasant, how happy you can be, and how nice the Jewish family is, and how nice Chomt is, and Zmir is around the Shabbos table with the scrubbed faces of the children. But what happens is that life is full of difficulties, and when these people start living a normal life and have some difficulty, and they find out that maybe it's hard to raise the children, and the child grows up, and he has adolescent problems, and he thought everything's going to be perfect. So it's a little bit of a fallacy to tell people that you're coming from because you're going to be happy, you're assured of a perfect life. It's not true. You don't know what's in store. You don't know what din HaKadosh Baruch has in store for a person. What is the neshama is supposed to undergo, the challenges you have to carry, follow, face during your lifetime. So that's like a never land to portray Yiddishkeit like that. But initially, maybe they should see that there's a happiness and there's unity and there's a family. Of course, initially, it is powerful to just display the Jewish family for someone who's looking at the meaning. It's obviously something which matters. And so the long-term goal is to teach people that there's a Teder and a Teder in HaShemayim. Now, if we don't do that, if we don't speak to people, we're responsible for everyone. Now, someone told me that he has a big institution in Yerushalayim, the Baal Shul. He has probably hundreds of thousands of Baal Shul went to his institution. And he told me that he went to the Moshe Feinstein once to introduce himself. And he runs this institution, that's his sort. Moshe Feinstein told him, he says, the people that are racing with Bali Chula think when they come to Olam Habo, they're going to get a big, big welcome to Olam Habo. He says, I'm not so sure. He says, true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, see that person, made him a Bali Chula, you're a Makaravim. Look at this other person, that there was a moment when you could have been Makaravim, and you didn't have time for him, and you were grumpy, and you didn't speak nicely to him, and you turned him off. There are cases like that, he says, that Baal Tshuva will be shown those moments also when they didn't use their time effectively. I often think to myself, I'm sitting on a train, sitting next to someone. Once I sat next to someone on a train, and I started talking to him, and I offered him a half of my sandwich, started talking about Yiddishkeit, and it turned out he became a true person. I gave him the address of the Partners for Torah in New York, and he started learning about Yiddishkeit, became a true person. So I think also it's very great that sitting next to somebody made him true. But how many tens of people I sat next to have not become from that we talked to, because I was ashamed to talk to them for a reason. That is really what we all have to work on, is the people that we weren't Makar, not to think about our successes. And Chazal say that there was once a cow that went out on Shabbos with a ribbon between its horns, which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. And they used to call that cow the Poa of Elazar ben Azariah. Cow of Elazar ben Azariah. But initially, the great tzaddik of Elazar ben Azariah. What an embarrassment that this cow should be called his cow, Ibn Abel. The Gemara says, why was it called his name? Because he wasn't lechet. He didn't protest against the cow. So the tzitzis of Elazar ben Azariah and Nasi Yisrael didn't help him to keep him, to protect him from that English, from that saying, the cow being called Elazar ben Azariah. So who knows if this generation of these, our community, will not be called the community of Plainia. The dirt of this person, Chas v'Shalom, we have to do whatever we can to exert our utmost effort to be mekar whomever we can. Someone can be moicha and is not moicha. He's caught up in the avera, in the sin of the person that you cannot stop him. Now, nowadays, we can't go out and protest, we can't be mighty, we can't stand in the soapbox and start screaming and shouting, we won't have the effect. But our protest is the kilu, bringing people closer to us. Our greatest weapon that we have in kilu is each of us has that weapon at his disposal, that's a Shabbos thing. There is no greater weapon than that. Just to have a person experience a Shabbos thing with the initial impact in a world which is so alienated and so without family, where people never sit together at a table, where mothers never cook food for their children, and children never home, everybody's on the go and everyone's moving. There's no unity, no one cares about anyone else. The power of seeing a family, a Jewish family, where people sit together, because parents are in control, at least relatively, not all the time. But the fact that there's a relationship between, in a family, unit of a family, is the most powerful weapon that we have, the most powerful message that we have. We have a way of life, we have a culture that works. It's not. And then the most important thing after the initial contact we have with people is to get them to learn to crush it. Without learning Torah, the connection with Yiddishkeit becomes a superficial one. Even they keep mitzvahs, but without learning and understanding why they're learning, what goes behind our halacha, the connection is superficial. And we have to get them to learn the yeshiva of some sort. It's time, but other yeshivas where they can learn part time, full time. But we have to have a connection with Torah. The most important thing in connection with Torah is not just practically speaking, but there's something spiritual about someone learning Torah that connects him to Yiddishkeit. He has a Amor Shavuot, comes into contact with the light of Torah. Amor Shavuot Marzil on the Mudah. It's extremely important to get them to learn Torah. That's it, and we have to understand that we have an Arab culture, call it that, the Torah. We have the most unbelievable and perfect system for mankind that exists on the face of earth. That's really what it is. There is nothing as complete. I think it solves all the problems of mankind. Saying there's still an issue that we have to undergo, difficulty we have to undergo. But the fact that a person has a goal in his life, a purpose in his life, is the most powerful way, the most perfect way of living. Once asked one of Bali Chunin, that says a famous Bali Chunin, he was a big entertainer. And he became a Baal Tshuva, a celebrity. After he became firm, people talked about him all day. And they said, what made you firm? What was the thing you triggered? So he told me a few things, but one of the things he told me was, he said, do you know what it is to wake up in the morning and not to know what you're looking for? He says, you don't know that pain. And anyone with a little bit of sensitivity, he says, suffers from such a thing. And he drowns himself in drugs and alcohol and everything because he can't face the day, he doesn't know what he's living for. He says the pillar is why people don't become Baal Tshuva, not why people become Baal Tshuva. The sensitive soul, and not everybody has that sensitivity, but that message get across to people, that this is what you're created for. You're created to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us a mind on Sinai, what we're supposed to be living for. It makes such simple sense, a child can understand it. And it resonates in someone who hears that message. You might not want to listen to it right away, but after a while we'll listen to that message. That's a message which will come across and be mashpia on everyone. I think the most important thing, perhaps, to be mashpia, whenever mashpia with gimmickry, or with salesmanship, or with arguments. I don't think there's any trick slogan that you can convince someone to become frum with. What convinces someone to become frum is your own conviction, your own integrity, the fact that you believe in what you're doing. Your own Yirat Shamayim comes across to the person that you're talking to. And if you don't have your own integrity, it's shallow and it won't penetrate. So we really, before we are mekadesh someone, we have to do tshuva ourselves, remind ourselves what we really believe in, what we're doing, We're not interested in being the kind of the person simply because we want to have another you know, victory on our nest head or something like that. We don't want to. We're not doing it for COVID. We're doing it with Kvod Shamayim. We're doing it for Kiddush Hashem. But we're doing it out of pity for the person who's not exposed to Yiddishkeit, but who lives in a world which is like he's falling into a bottomless pit. He's going nowhere, he's falling and falling towards his death. Without any purpose in what he's doing, he's trying to find ways to entertain himself. Now he's falling into that bottomless pit. And we have this Torah that we can teach him that can elevate him. Instead of falling, he can rise higher and higher. And have a life which is meaningful and purposeful. And a life we can use all the human aspects of his life properly. Compare everything is like making to a human being. That's what I think of. It's a chesed that we can give to people. We have to be proud of them because of Kiddush Hashem, because of the chesed of another person. We have to do it because it's seichel, and you can't pour more into a vessel than the vessel can contain. But the person has to be ready to listen to what you're saying. First, you have to open up, to ask, and to want to listen. Once you open up to listen, then we should do this after Shmaya and be able to be Mashpia. So it's a chiyuv of all of us. We do whatever we can, we would have anyone we can, whatever way it is, to, especially I'm saying with the Shabbos day, but any other way, we have to be Mekarev, and that's a tzav ashor, and it's not chas v'shom. We are nitvaz b'isa orban of our birth. Yeah, because both bench us in the Yavis, 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 the Yavis,